Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts, a 6th event podcast, video event one-shots, and an additional video D&D campaign. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B, D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back, redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around the spooky dude. The Cautery faced certain death and somehow ended up with something worse. Iris escaped a trap but accidentally sent Harvey to a watery grave before Ridley embraced him and turned him into a kindred. Everett swore vengeance against Billy, and a stranger seems to have led the beasts elsewhere, leaving Billy to his dark fate. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
Iris, as you run down this sort of sewer tunnel, you kind of have a flash of foresight. This is, again, a thing that just occasionally happens to you now as part of your powers. And you just see for a split second Everett gets sliced in half cleanly through the center. You're kind of blinking this horrific image out of your eyes. And it's weird because when you saw that, he had Harvey over his left shoulder, but he's carrying Harvey over his right. As the three of you, kind of like four of you, I guess, with Harvey, intrepidly make your way after Billy. And then with horror, you see Everett shift Harvey onto his left shoulder.
I take out a pair of scissors and I start running.
I
gotta stop me.
Everett, stop, stop, please stop. I don't ask to explain it. I just had this image of you getting sliced in half with Harvey over your left shoulder. Be very aware that something might slice you in half in the next immediate future.
What sliced me in half?
I don't know.
And as you say that, a swing blade falls from the ceiling and slashes the back of your coat, narrowly missing Harvey's face, and then clanging into the side of the small passageway. Because there's no like cool indents or anything, because this wasn't built as a weird death trap. It's just a weirdly repurposed sewer.
And it wasn't built as a death trap?
Yeah, you just hear Billy say, "Ha ha! The Hall of Knives shall show you what's what." I hope. Did it show any of you what's what?
Still here.
Oh, can you take four steps forward, please?
No.
All right. I'm standing where you wanted.
Okay, I'm gonna have to trust you on this, though. You wouldn't lie to me, right? You've already caused me a tremendous amount of trouble.
Why would I ever lie to you? You know, we really just want to make sure you get a good job report, so take your shot.
All right. Well, I mean, you threatened to rip out my spine, so... fuck you! And then, like, four more blades come swinging kind of from down the hall and just kind of clang ineffectually off the walls.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no! I'm dying! Everyone else do what he says. Maybe you're strong enough to survive the knives in your body. Ah.
Don't worry, some OxyClean will get that out. I'll see the rest of you in the Hall of Eyes. And then you hear him fumble with his mic like an idiot. There's a lot of like...
And I just take a bow and gesture the other two forwards.
Can we slap chop that little wiener?
You have a bunch of knives now. So these blades are big. They're probably too big to carry with you, but they are just hanging from the ceiling.
Okay. Seeing how they're deployed, is there any way to kind of now know when there's more coming?
You get the sense, you can see they all seem to be rigged up with magnets. So there's kind of some kind of magnetic apparatus that Billy was just clicking off to make them swing down.
Okay.
But they really are just affixed by chain. So there's looking along the ceiling, you can see that he's launched all but one.
Okay. And we see the chain for the final one.
Oh, 100%. You see the blade. Okay. Like it's just along the ceiling. You just missed them the first time because it's a big enough hallway that you weren't looking for Tomb Raider traps.
Right. Okay. Well, then, Everett's ready to press on. He'll say a quick thank you to both Iris and Ridley for both of their work just now.
Ridley will just, like, run the hand over his neck, like, cut, and then point to himself and make it, like, tongue out, dead face.
Thank you, Iris, and thank you, Ridley. Your sacrifice was will not be in vain, I guess.
And we'll just like shrug and walk down the sewer.
Great. So when you make it to the final blade, it is released just kind of as you approach it. You hear Billy over the mic just be like, "Ha ha! Bet you didn't see that one coming. You won't see anything after my Hall of Eyes."
What happens in the Hall of Eyes? I just look at the groupie and I'm like, "Oh, maybe."
You die! And then he fumbles his mic. And you actually hear Baby Got Back as a ringtone. You hear him kind of away from the mic answer. And says, hello, sir. Yeah, obviously I tried to cut the strong one off from the group, like I showed you in my... Yes, no, they figured it out. Yes, they solved the puzzle. Yes, they killed one. I know, I was surprised too. Yes, she did show up. Yes, she was very upset. Now you're upset. Okay, look, I just killed one of them in my Hall of Blades. We'll get the rest of them in the Hall of Eyes, and you can question them or torture them or whatever you want to do. Please, look, Elias, I promise, I'm going to get these guys. I'm going to prove that I'm worthy of joining you down here. Okay. All right. Billy Mays out. Okay. Okay, bye. Ha 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 ha! Hall of Eyes!
Everett will just say, like, quietly, like, wait, is he just Billy Mays?
He might be.
Ridley shrugs.
Guess that's what happened to that guy, huh?
Gaunt with frosted tips.
And he'll carry on down the sewer tunnel.
Yeah, I think Ridley's going to do more like slightly further back skulking, like he's in reserve so he doesn't get spotted.
All right, so you come to a large room that seems to be, for the first time, kind of off. It's a little bit off the sewer. And it's kind of a large, seems to almost be like a pump room. There's sort of a lot of vertical pumps and things. But most notably, A, it seems to be the only way forward. B, it is decked out floor to ceiling in mirrors.
Is there any sewer trash nearby?
Yep.
I just want to pick something up.
Sorted garbage everywhere.
I just want to pick something up and toss it into this hall of mirrors.
Sure. So as you toss it in and you can see it reflected in a number of places, and a crossbow bolt comes flying out of the darkness inside this large room. Again, like, think of this as, it's not like he hung up a bunch of mirrors, it's like broken shards at various angles, and a lot of them are suspended. So you can tell the room was at some point a large, high-ceilinged, kind of two-story pump room. But now, because of the way these mirrors have been arranged, it's very easy, seemingly, for someone to move between them if you know where to go. So a crossbow bolt flies out and pins some of the trash to a wall.
Hmm. Well, I guess we could spend the next, 45 minutes just throwing garbage into this room until they run out of bolts. Or, I mean, Harvey's not looking too good. We gotta kind of get him to safety. Does anyone want to try this obstacle course here?
You look to the side. Ridley's back pretending that he's dead, so he's not there.
I maybe, but my abilities, I'm a little bit clumsy, so it might need help and backup.
All right. Grab some trash then, and I'll try and throw some more stuff into the room to see if you can set off more of the trap.
Sure. And Iris, I'm going to get you to roll me a wits or resolve and awareness, please. You can choose whether you want wits or resolve. It really depends on how you think Iris would approach this. If it's fuck this nonsense, I'm just going to walk in, then it's resolve. If it's I'm going to try and like reach out with my precog abilities and kind of like try and Catherine Zeta-Jones in entrapment your way through it, then it's wits.
I mean, it's the same either way, so might as well try to use my precog abilities.
Cool.
That piece of trash, it becomes president.
It'd be an upgrade.
Three successes.
Hey-o.
All right, three successes. Very good. So, Miles, you move into this room, and it's almost a happy death day scenario where you keep constantly catching visions of yourself getting shot. So you keep using that to kind of, like, not entirely dodge the bolts, but enough so that they're just, like, it like skims across your face or like hits you in the shoulder, but it's it's a pain in the ass, but it's not mortal. Nothing's dropping you. It's not actually damaging you, per se, just for flavor's sake. And Iris, you start to realize that this isn't like an Indiana Jones multi-crossbow setup. Someone is actually firing these from inside here.
Can I locate them?
Go ahead and roll me a, we'll say, insight and intelligence, please. And Everett, can you please roll me a an awareness and wits?
Oh, you love to see it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Sorry, that didn't. I'm gonna roll it again because it kind of fell all over the place.
Meanwhile, just mirror shards are glittering, and
Ridley's just standing there.
Yeah, he's leaning against the wall, thinking, "I'm dead. I'm dead."
But
no, I'm not dead. Until I fucking catch someone.
I have four successes.
And 5 successes for Everett.
Okay, shit. Iris, you basically are triangulating. I think we're going to say that you basically, once you realize that you're getting these glimpses of where the attacks are coming from, you start to use it tactically to kind of narrow down where someone could be shooting from. Also, knowing that someone is darting between these things, presumably if you just kind of start moving them towards a corner, eventually they're going to hit the back wall. And so you're kind of like ducking under mirror shards, and you can hear like some furtive scrambling as someone starts to get a bit desperate. Everett, as you continue to throw trash and kind of watch Iris's back, something catches your eye on the ceiling. And you see a pale shape with extraordinarily long forearms very slowly clawing its way across the ceiling.
Shoot it!
Above me or above Iris?
Above Iris.
Tom, I'll need a ruling from you on this. Am I out of ammo?
I'll give you one bullet because I'm a nice guy.
All right. Yeah, last shot. I'll raise up my firearm and try and shoot this thing off the ceiling.
All right, go for it. Roll me a firearms and... I feel like this might be resolve rather than dexterity.
Okay.
Unless you think this is a... Well, let me ask you. Is this a quick shot or is this like a... Are you doing like a quiet, like I'm taking aim, or is it just, oh shit?
It sounds like it's an oh shit. It's I'm watching okay, Iris, then, I'm watching then, Iris, and then something catches my eye above. It's like, dear Lord, and I just...
Yeah, okay, so then go with dex, please.
Okay. 2 dex. Where did firearms go? There you are, 3. Okay, great. One success, one crit.
Okay. So you wing this thing in the shoulder, and you see it drop. But as it does, it seems to be grabbing mirror, like the cables that are holding the mirror shards up, and almost like vining its way through them as it comes down. Iris, you've pretty much cornered... The crossbow person, who you can definitely hear, is going, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh god, why are these things so hard to reload? Why didn't I just bring a fucking gun? You see, kind of for the first time, as the mirror shards separate, Billy, who is in your heart of hearts, you just wanted these mirror shards to part and to see Billy Mays, just big barrel-chested, big black beard, Billy Mays. But the fellow on the other side is, in fact, a scrawny, kind of pale guy, with a really unfortunate attempt at a mustache. And he's wearing, like, just kind of a Best Buy blue, polo shirt that's kind of stained, and he's got a fanny pack with some crossbow bolts sticking out of it, and what looks like a map stuffed into it. He just kind of looks up at you with kind of beady eyes, and he's like, "Aha! You solved my hall of mirrors and eyes. You have won your freedom. Ta-da!"
Can I grab him by the throat?
You sure can.
Okay, so I do, and I squeeze a little.
Ah!
To make him wheeze.
And he says, your mortal powers are no match for me, for I am Kindred, a child of Batista, the strongest of all vampire lords.
And behind her, Ridley just steps out of the shadows and says, "Oh, is he? Because I'm pretty sure that I ripped his fucking arms off and beat him to death with him. So how about you and I have a little talk? We'll let her hold you because she's quite capable. Do you know who's eating a werewolf's heart when they're still alive?"
And with that, the creature from the ceiling drops. Iris, incredibly like Bruce Lee level, slight but ripped, figure drops, down through the shards of mirror, and your precog abilities kick in just a second before he hits. His forearms are twice the length they should be, and the hands at the end kind of end in talons. Even for a Kindred, this guy is a sight to be seen. Like we're talking like full Nosferatu face, so just right. Like black eyes, pointed teeth, the whole shebang. And he is dropping. You can see there's blood from a gunshot wound in his chest. He's kind of dropping almost the way, if you've seen how bats hang with their claws, kind of that level of reaching with these long arms, kind of falling through the air towards you. What do you do?
I will throw Billy at it.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Hi there, I'm Tom McGee, and I love stories. And odds are, if you're listening to our shows, you do too. So, if you're wondering how you can help support our storytelling and world building and these wonderful characters and their sometimes ridiculous journeys, you can head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice There you'll find a variety of different levels and different perks, starting from as low as a dollar, which gets you into our Patreon-only Discord, where you can talk about the latest episodes, all the twists and turns, and just generally hang out with some truly lovely people. There's a whole variety of levels with everything from advanced episodes, ad-free feeds, to, of course, at our $25 level, getting to create your very own character who appears in some of our shows and sometimes becomes a long-running friend or foe of our characters. So, if you want to get involved, if you want to help us tell more of these stories, then head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. And help us create more of these fun adventures together.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumdumdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else. So do that now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
So in a swift motion, you just turn, and with strength that you didn't really know you had, but that you've been feeling particularly since you ate that werewolf, you fling Billy at this creature. Ridley, I assume you kind of drop into a brawling stance as
yeah.
You like to do. So Iris, you do that and then sidestep, and together these two figures just kind of like fall through between the two of you. The creature from the ceiling, seems to just like fully have his incredibly odd distended arms around, Billy. And you just hear him say,
"Oh, yes, William of Maze. You fucked up very badly. And the spider will bring you to Elias for judgment."
And then he twists his head at like a real odd angle around to look at the two of you. And he does what seems to be what passes for a grin, which really just looks like more mouth and teeth. He just says,
"This spider is eternally in your debt for helping me capture William of Maze. I was quite vexed by his Hall of Blades, but you seem to have passed it. You have my thanks."
And then he rips one of Billy's arms off and tosses it to you. And he just says,
"Trophies are fun."
And then he starts to climb the wall. And Billy is just screaming. Being like, "Help me! Help me, new friends!"
Bye!
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, now we've got his fingerprints, so we can look up who the fuck he is to figure the rest out. I vote we just let him go fuck himself. Thoughts?
Yep.
That seems fine. I have more questions, though.
Yeah, but I'd rather not...
Well, Billy, I'm afraid you failed to solve our spider puzzle, so how about you shove your head up your ass?
The spider nods back at you and says,
"I will see if he can pass that puzzle."
As he exits, he does look down at you, Everett. With a finger that's like twice the length a finger ought to be, he just gives you like a tisk, tisk, tisk. He'll flick the bullet out of his chest, kind of down to the ground, and says,
"Human weapons are for cowards and cattle. Do better, kindred."
Then he'll skitter off across the ceiling with Billy screaming and bleeding the whole way.
I'll give him the... two fingers to the eyes and then out to you and just say, "I'll see you later."
The spider says something in that raspy voice, but he's far enough away that like he talks too low. So just kind of hear.
All right. So we may have to kill him at some point, but I do like the spider just coming off the whole top thing. You know, he seems capable, same enemies. No one likes Billy. It's kind of thumbs up all around.
He looked like he was seizing up to attack Iris. He was right on top of her.
But I was also on top of Billy.
Well, yeah. You know what? I think this might be one of those scenarios. We'll believe you about this, and I think you should believe us about killing that werewolf, because I think what we're seeing here is that everyone's having these little Black Cross incidents that ain't quite so ideal.
I mean, that seems like some kiddie playground logic. Don't agree with me if you don't agree with me.
I try to bring the group together, and you just don't want to be friends. Okay, shall we get off to an hospital? And by hospital, I mean realistically a coffin in my basement. I was really hoping we could put Billy in the trunk and him in a coffin and I just sleep under a tarp like the old days. But, you know, you can have a coffin, I can sleep in a box, you know, be nicer to the guest.
I'll shift Harvey's weight on my shoulder and then kind of look at Ridley and ask, so in the end he asked you to do it, huh?
No, I yelled up to you that it was inconclusive. He didn't answer, and then Iris told me that he had to do it, so I did it. And it didn't feel good, and I don't particularly like it, because now I'm responsible for him. I don't know what you guys got in a way of speeches afterwards, but what I know is my sire has, like, a weird pull over me whenever I'm around. So now I've got a weird pull over, like, baby Arv here. And, I mean, I can't date him. There's going to be some sort of strange compulsion issue that I'd cannot deal with in terms of romantic entanglement. Way too confusing and immoral. There's a power structure involved. So now I got to raise Arv. I'm going to be a dad.
I mean, I feel responsible for him too.
Ben's.
Sorry, what was that, Miles?
Never mind.
Iris mutters something to herself, just watching all of this unfold. So having successfully defeated Billy's maze, you continue to make your way through the sort of mirror room and actually out through a back exit into, very happily, particularly for you, Iris, a kind of like a, almost like a locker room. Like you're finally getting back to some bastions of like places people could be. From there, you kind of make your way. And you do notice, I will say, there are corpses from time to time of, like, various city workers. But the further out you get, you actually kind of come up a flight of stairs and find yourselves in an office. Like, there's sort of a long hallway with a couple offices and then a large meeting room. In the large meeting room, you can see Billy had clearly done a lot of his prep here. So there's kind of some diagrams taped up about kind of places he could set this. And it really does look like a production. Like he's clearly been at this for a while. But with a quick cursory look, you know, there's no like fucking journal that just happens to have all the details of who he was working for and why. But you have heard the name Elias the Whale. You've heard the Spider and you've heard of Muse. So yeah,
I hold up like three pages and I'm like, I don't know. These could either be really useful or not useful at all. It's really going to come down to the interpretation of the clues. What do you think, Everett?
It's a Cosmo quiz.
It's a Cosmo quiz.
Well, you know, Billy didn't seem like the smartest guy, so maybe this is actually the key. Maybe there's a code of some kind. I don't know. I'm not a detective.
I am. It's a Cosmo quiz.
So I should put it back, is what you're saying?
You can do whatever you want with it.
I'll keep it.
Okay, I give it to Iris.
All right, what about this clue?
And what's he holding up now?
this time it is actually, it looks like a manifest of like weird Amazon orders one would need to create a hall of blades.
Oh, now hold on a minute. And I want to investigate that for things like a delivery address, or account information, that kind of thing.
Yeah, see, I knew it was good. Who's so fucking clever now? And then I sit down because he feels like Ridley's like come out ahead on his bullshit deal. So he's just going to back off now.
So, Everett, it is a P.O. box located just kind of at a Pharmaprix, the French Shoppers Drug Mart downtown. So yeah, it seems it's definitely a place you could check out. Odds are, Like, it's not necessarily like a secret base, but it's definitely a location that is certainly linked to his finances and presumably to him.
Okay, yeah, I'll pocket that. I'll hang on to that.
I think we can safely say you, like, if you want to sweep a bunch of this shit into a bag just so you have it for later, you can, like, grab a bunch of docs. Iris, I think given kind of your interest in puzzles in general, I think it's fairly easy for you to just kind of eyeball this and be like, oh, well, I mean, like, you've had experience at large scale events and all sorts of shit. So I think it's easy to just be like, oh, these three things are, I mean, like, Everett's obviously looking for manifests, that sort of thing. But I think you're able to just comb it for, oh, yeah, if Emily was going to build this, these are the things Emily would do. Butter. Yeah, exactly. So you just pack all that shit up. You find, like, a spare fanny pack. It seems he had a backup one just in case his good one got ruined. Other than that, there's not a whole lot here. So having looted the room and kind of got some evidence and some clues, you make your way, sort of further up and out of the sewers. Find yourselves, after kind of going up a ladder, it feels like there's like a bunch of boxes stacked, almost looks like a bunch of retail delivery type stuff. You're in some kind of storage room in what is likely the sort of underground city, which is Montreal's kind of like in Toronto, it's the PATH, but they basically have an interconnected underground mall system that you can kind of use year round. Everett, can you please roll me a what's it going to be? I'll say, fuck, I hate that I have to do this. Investigation.
Okay.
And
first skill.
I know, yeah. Right? He's really got to struggle with it. Let's go with wits, please.
All right. I need to assign. This one will be the hunger guy. Not great. Out of 8 dice, 3 successes. Sorry, 4 successes. Better. Okay, 4 successes.
All right, that's really not bad, actually. You remember when you got your briefing from Ellen about the Sabbat, the sort of covens that have always been in opposition to the Camarilla. That she'd warned you about something called an underground city, which, again, seemed like crazy, weird bullshit you would never encounter. But looking around and thinking about it, you realize that, A, you guys haven't really encountered any Sabbat since you arrived. Cano Batista claimed he might have been involved, but he also kind of seemed like he was doing his own thing. Ellen did say that a lot of the Sabbat had left North America to go fight in Genna, the end of the world, theoretically, though she thought that was bullshit, but they seem to believe it, in the Middle East. So there haven't been, despite Montreal being a Sabbat stronghold, you haven't found many, but this does seem to be a fairly Sabbat-heavy area.
Okay.
Based on what you remember.
That would lead me to conclude that the spider and Elias the whale are Sabbat.
That is correct.
And are therefore in direct opposition of what we're trying to do here.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, in theory. The other thing is the Sabbat are, in the same way there's a lot of like dissension within the Camarilla, the Sabbat are no longer united.
Okay.
And the person who would have been able to do that died in the CN Tower attack. So who knows, but probably. If there's a power structure that exists in Montreal, it's probably Sabbat.
Okay. Thank you.
No worries.
Run out of ink. There we go.
So with that, you make your way to the door, and Iris, to your absolute delight, beyond it, you can hear the soothing sounds of people going about their shopping business. You open the door into an underground mall. You smell fried food on the air from a food court that is inexplicably nowhere near you, but still kind of lingers in the air. You see mortals, you know, respectable folks moving furtively around. This place is vaguely dingy. It's a little dark. Ridley, I mean, all of this screams ambush points to you. Like,
yeah, I think Ridley would just reach out and like close the door again and mm-hmm. be like, okay, so there's people out there who seem relatively normal. We're all stripped naked in broken clothing, soaked in blood and shit. And we're vampires. So my vote would be let's wait until like 4 in the morning when it probably slows down and we can get the fuck out of here. Or did you see a phone?
There don't appear to be any lockers or anything behind this back here.
Unfortunately,
where this is no. There. No. Then Ever would say waiting. Sounds like as good a plan as any right now. Hope Harv can hold out.
Oh, he's a vampire now. He'll be fucking fine. He's doing great. Look at him. He's so pale, just like he's supposed to be.
I don't think he's a vampire yet.
There's
a little more to it.
Okay, I may have been asleep through the old vampire thing. So what happened to you guys? I interview with a vampire at him, so I'm sure he's fine.
I was buried.
Yeah, I had to dig my way out of some dirt.
That seems a bit barbaric, but okay, so...
Well, I mean, welcome to being a vampire.
I want to start pulling the boxes open, Tom.
So you can tell that this is a maintenance access to the sewer system and to kind of the drainage systems, but as is often the case with underused spaces, it seems to just also have been a couple of places have stowed boxes here. Unfortunately, it's like Dollarama shit, so it's like watering cans and... like weird Christmas decorations, but there don't seem to be it's definitely not dirt, and the boxes aren't particularly large.
All right, so we could wait. We could bury Harvey in cheap shit and then have him dig his way out. I don't know. Any thoughts? I don't know.
I think it's got to be underground. I think it's got to be soil.
All right, and we can stay here and wait for it to get less packed.
I think we have to wait.
Maybe there's a flower shop or like a plant shop that has dirt somewhere in here.
Which one of us, looking the way we look, is about to go shopping?
Oh, don't worry about that. We'll get the bear boys to do it once we get back to the bar. We need access to a phone so I can call them to get a ride.
Iris, if you laid on your charm very hard, you might be able to talk, like, you might be able to full on, like, Paris Hilton on a bad day this, or like Lindsay Lohan it, where in theory, if you as a celebrity show up looking like a train wreck.
I just said Paris Hilton on a bad day. Yeah, Lindsay Lohan.
Honestly. yeah, Miles, I think it would be safe to assume that you could probably, it might show up on the news, but you could probably talk your way around this.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, so are you going for a phone, are you going for clothes, or are you going for soil?
Probably the phone, because then the boys can bring us everything we need to get out of here safely.
Okay, so you walk into like a Wind Mobile. It's like fairly, because you had to sleep during the day, so it's like probably close to closing time. And when they see you come in, there's like a weird mix of like, oh no, but also can we sell her a phone? So I don't know about you, but every time I've walked into a random mobile place, it's like, these guys are going to sell me a phone. It doesn't really matter. I could be on fire and they're like, but I mean,
you look like you could use a phone.
500 megabytes of data.
Yeah.
You know what puts out fires? Huawei.
Yeah.
Somebody call the fire department and look at all the different calls you could make with these planes.
You could call an ambulance if you had a phone.
So, Iris, what's your strategy walking into this this mobile store?
I will probably be as vague as possible while still like putting the charm on and letting them know who I am. And that, like, I would appreciate your discretion. I've had a very strange day. Everything's fine. All I need to do is make one phone call, and I will make sure you all get bonuses and good commissions. Trust me.
My name is Iris Phone, inventor of the phone, and I am here to tell you. Would you be using composure or manipulation, do you think? Both are kind of funny given the circumstance.
Composure.
Okay. So give me composure and persuasion, please. It's just, the visual of this is just so fucking delightfully absurd. It's just like, you're just covered in sewage and just being like, come on. Do you know who I am? I'm Paris Hilton on a bad day. I was in the Parent Trap in Freaky Friday.
Yeah. I'm Poopy Lohan.
Three successes.
All right. So they kind of look at each other with some degree of trepidation, and then finally the lesser of them is like, I don't know, Mr. Bradford, you're the manager, so if you want to do this, I think we should do it. And manager of Wind Mobile in the Montreal Underground, Guy Bradford, says, yep, okay. And he hands you a phone. Iris, this phone is shit. This is a bad phone, but it is a phone, so it's got that going for it. So are you going to place the call here, or are you going to try and take it with you?
I'll probably place the call here.
Iris doesn't know the number.
Or any numbers, I don't think. I guess you probably know Emily's number by heart.
Yeah.
Okay, so you dial Emily?
Yeah.
So the phone rings like a few times, which makes sense. I mean, she's in a hospital. And then a man picks up.
Shit.
And he says, hello, who is this?
Who the fuck is that?
My name is Detective Perkins. I'm sorry. Do you know an Emily?
Yes, that's who I'm calling.
Ma'am, this is probably a conversation better had in person. But we suspect she may be dead. There is a lot of blood here, and she is nowhere to be found. So if you could just come on down to, when he gives you like a precinct, he's like, we would greatly appreciate your assistance in tracking her down.
Sorry, there's a lot of blood at the hospital?
Yes, there's, it's listen, ma'am, again, we should do this in person, but yes, I'm afraid there was some kind of accident or fight. Her physician, well, it's pretty grisly. So just come on down to the station and we'll walk you through it.
She killed Dr. Skull.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to hang up and then I'm going to walk out with the phone.
Miss. All right. Well, and then store manager Guy Bradford says, we're just going to call that a sale. And with that, the store closes on a high note with a sale. And Iris, you return with the phone to break the news to the team that beloved NPC Dr. Skull is dead and that Emily is missing.
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Dum Dums and Dice logos are done by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kai Engel.
and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. You can also buy merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, and you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.